God, we remember your gift, your precious gift, your sacrificial gift in giving us Jesus Christ. And holy God, we humbly come before you as sinners saved by your amazing grace. And we ask you, Lord God, to speak now, for we're listening. Speak, God, speak. Speak a word of hope, a word of peace. Lord God, that peace that surpasses all understanding, speak now. For you have already spoken a word of love by sending Jesus Christ, and we thank you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. Lord God, let me stand behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. We give God thanks and praise for all God has done and for what God continues to do in our lives. Thanks be to God for God's faithfulness. My sermon title today is A Prayer of Seeking. Prayer of Seeking. And I'll begin with this reflection as we are going through this time of Lent. We want to reflect and to be renewed. And this reflection is from Stephen Colbert on gratitude in suffering. And it says, GQ magazine's interview with talk show host Stephen Colbert explored how he found gratitude in the midst of suffering. When he was 10 years old, his father and two of his brothers were killed in a plane crash. Young Stephen was the only child still at home with his mother in the years immediately following. When asked how he could experience such losses and not become angry or bitter, the GQ interview explored Colbert's faith. And so Colbert said, "I was raised in a Catholic tradition. That's my context for my existence, is that I am here to know God, love God, and serve God, that we might be happy with each other in this world and with him in the next." That is the catechism. "That makes a lot of sense to me," he said. "I got that from my mother, my mom, and my dad, and my siblings. I was left alone a lot after dad and the boys died, and it was just me and mom for a long time," he said. "And by your example, I am not bitter. She was broken, yes. Bitter, no." Colbert said that even in his mother's days of unremitting grief, she drew on her faith that the only way not to be swallowed by sorrow, to in fact recognize that our sorrow is inseparable from our joy, is to always understand our suffering, to understand our suffering, ourselves, in light of eternity. Colbert described a letter from Tolkien, who wrote, "What punishments of God are not gifts?" And then Colbert's eyes filled with tears, the writer says, and he said, "So it would be ungrateful not to take everything with gratitude. It doesn't mean you want it. Of course not. Doesn't mean you want it. I can hold both of these ideas in my head." He was 35, he said, before he could really feel the truth of that. He was walking down the street and it stopped me dead. I went, "Oh, I am grateful. Oh, I feel terrible. I felt so guilty to be grateful, but I knew it was true." That you can be both grateful through suffering and through pain. Amen? One theologian says, "Though suffering is inevitable and most often out of our control, our response to suffering is dependent on our choices. Like you read that again. Though suffering is inevitable and most often out of our control, our response to suffering is dependent on our choices. We have to make the choice whether or not to live through our suffering, joyously holding on to God's hand, or to wallow in self-pity. And yes, so my sermon today is the prayer of seeking, and we are looking at Psalm 34. Lent is a time of being on a journey, friends. And that journey is not some meaningless meandering, but instead a time of seeking to build our relationship with the Lord through good times and bad times. During Lent, we should seek to see how Jesus' journey to the cross and then the empty tomb informs our journey. On this Lenten journey, we are using the Psalms. And today, again, we will be looking at Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, we see David, after having experienced great suffering, now urges the afflicted to do what he did. David cried out to God and experienced God's protection and peace. And so this psalm, a psalm of David, Psalm 34, is teaching us how we, as human beings, when we go through suffering, need to live our lives if we want to come out on the other side sane. As was read in the psalm, David was running for his life. Abimelech was coming after him. David had a lot of problems in this text, but he decided that he was going to what? Have a different attitude. He begins the psalm by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now that takes a lot of faith, or at least a faith that is holding on to God himself, to be going through and say to someone, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Very difficult to do, yet David would do it. And then David remembers. He says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And those fears David was talking about is the fear of becoming angry and bitter. The fear of just wallowing in self-pity that can destroy your soul. He says, look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. The poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. So when we are going through, we need to what? Not turn away from God, but turn towards God and seek God. Turn towards God. David says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Amen? So the angel of the Lord will encamp. And I right now know that the angel of the Lord is encamping around me and my family as Amen. We mourn the loss of my brother. That the Lord is encamping around us, the angel of the Lord, and strengthening us and bringing us through. You see, suffering is inevitable, as I said. And though we work and plan for success and security, we see here that suffering, our own or those, or that of those or close to us, is sure to come. Suffering is sure to come to everyone. Today is my suffering, and tomorrow will be your suffering. It is going to come to all of us. Since suffering is universal, many are in the midst of life-changing troubles right now. Right as we gather here, there are those who are in the midst of unchanging troubles. David says that when he turned to God, his sufferings was used as an opportunity to grow in grace and not in bitterness. When you turn to God, you begin to get the strength and you begin to grow in grace. In times of suffering, we can become self-absorbed. Indeed, it is hard not to do so. In times of suffering, it's very easy to say, woe me, woe me, woe me. And after you've said the tenth woe me, what else do you then do? Can you woe me forever? You've got to find the place to rise up. And as Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen? Those Amen. Are not words, but those are truths. The blessings and joys of others in those we love don't touch us if we are focused on our misery and our fears. In times of suffering, we choose to either glorify God in the midst of our situation or not. We can choose to either glorify God in the midst of our situation or not. So David says to us, he wants to replace our fear and our loss of suffering with something else. David says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Friends, taste and see. No matter what we're going through, the Lord was good before we went through. The Lord is good now, and the Lord is good tomorrow. Blessed are those who take your refuge in him. And I am taking my refuge in the Lord. I have tasted and I have seen, and I know that the Lord is good. Lord is good. This series of Psalms I was going to do no matter what. I chose to do this from the beginning of Lent. But God would have known that I would have needed to read these Psalms again to strengthen me. I would not have known that on this Sunday I would be reading it for my own self. But God knew it. These were all chosen. The seven Psalms have already been chosen for the series. I'm using it from a writing that I'm reading. So, and here it is, I never chose this psalm, in special because I'm reading it. Those who are in the Bible study know there's a list of psalms that I'm teaching from. They already have the list, and this Psalm 34 was already in it. God would know that I would need it for myself and how much this psalm has given me strength, like the Psalm 23rd and all the other psalms. He says, oh, fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. Right? And then David says, he says, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So I know that the eyes of the Lord are upon me and upon all those who suffer. And he hears our cry. When we cry out, Abba, Father, when we cry out and says we cannot go this alone, give us comfort, he hears. And he says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescue them from all their troubles. Thanks be to God for a God who listens and answers our prayers. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Friends, if you are brokenhearted today, remember that the Lord is near to you when you're brokenhearted. So close to you that you feel as if he's right next there, right next to you, and he is. And then David would end and he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. Many are the afflictions. We will go through many things, friends. But the Lord will rescue us. He will take care of us. The Lord redeems the life of his servant. And none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. We are reminded as we go through Lent, this time as we think. Lent reminds us over and over again that Jesus died for us. And therefore we are not condemned. So even when we suffer, we have the hope that we will not be condemned. But when we die, we will be received by Jesus Christ, and that Jesus will open his nail-pierced hands to receive us.
Amen.
That's the promise. And I know when the Lord called to take my brother home, that Jesus opened his nail-pierced hands and received him because he believed in him and he loved Jesus. That is the promise. That is the hope. That is what we need to hold on to. That death will yet come. Suffering will come. But this Savior we had, what a friend we have in Jesus, will be there for us, friends, and will bring us through, those of us who are here. So Jesus tells us in the gospel narrative today, he says, when he was speaking to his disciples, he said, the Bible tells us, then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must go through great suffering. Even Jesus himself had to go through great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, he would rise again. Thanks be to God that he rose again from the dead and give us hope for eternity, friends. And then when Peter tried to stop him, he rebuked him. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. I've got to do this for my children. And then he said to them, if you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus said we must take up our cross and follow him. Any Christian believer who believes that this journey with the Lord is always going to be a dance and a party and everything is going to be okay the way they want it, and every prayer is going to be answered exactly the way we want it, trust me, we are in for some big surprise. We must take up our cross and follow Jesus. And so I am taking up my cross and following Jesus, and I hope you are carrying your cross with him, because he says he will carry us. And so the songwriter says, take up thy cross. Take up your cross. The Savior said, if you would my disciple be, take up your cross with humbling heart and humbly follow me. That's what we have to do. Humbly follow him. Take up your cross. Let not its weight fill your weak spirit with alarm. Christ's strength shall bear your spirit up and brace your heart and nerve your arm. Take up your cross, heed not the shame, and let your foolish heart be still. The Lord, for you accepted that upon a cross on Calvary Hill. Take up thy cross. And Jesus has told us that we must take up our cross and follow him. It is, friends, as I close, does anyone choose suffering? Does anyone choose death? No. We want to live till we're 250. We want to be here forever. And even whatever number of years we want to be here, we don't want to have any problems. We want it to be just the way we planned it. But it won't be that way. Won't be that way for any of us. Something is going to happen. But you know what is our blessed assurance? You know what is the blessed assurance? That Jesus will be with us when we face our trials and our tribulations, that Jesus will be with us. And we give God thanks. And as I think about my brother's funeral and I go to do it, I was reading at the text. And I thought, at the cemetery that I go to bury him, I did my mother's funeral and my father's funeral and my nephew who died at 21, all buried there. And by God's grace, on Friday, I'll be doing my brother's funeral, who went home to be with the Lord at 67. But thanks be to God, for God who gives us the strength. And thanks be to God that I believe and I know for sure that my brother has been caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And for that I can rejoice. For that I do not weep. Will I be overwhelmed and fried a little bit when I see the open casket? Yes, I will. But deep in my spirit there's a joy that I cannot explain to you all. A peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that He is with the Lord. And that my earthly loss is only for a time. And that one day, by God's will and through God's grace, I will yet see Him again. And so thanks be to God as we go through this Lenten season and we journey together. I'll say to you like David, come and taste and see that the Lord, He is good. And His faithfulness and His grace endures forever and ever and ever. Amen.